Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning our meditation is based on the Gospel from Luke chapter 24 that was just read. You see, the disciples were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews and the Romans, because Jesus had been crucified, just put to death, and now his enemies seemed in power. The Jewish leaders thought that they were cleaning up Judaism by getting rid of this man, Jesus. And now this was a sign or permission for them to just go after any remaining followers. So the disciples there were gathered there, locked in a room, out of grief and fear for their own safety. And you know what? Jesus suddenly appears to them. The text says in verse 37, they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Now I find that interesting. Why do you think they were terrified? You would think that they would be overjoyed, like, wow! Like the women said, he has risen. Here he is. It wasn't such a moment of joy for them. In fact, it was fear, being startled by the presence of the risen Savior. But you see, the disciples' world had just been turned upside down. They had just witnessed Jesus' arrest, conviction, and death. And then they abandoned him. They left him alone to face a sham trial by the Jews, to be paraded in front of Pilate, humiliated in front of crowds, and then sent to be executed on a cross and die a horrible death. And I can imagine that they were startled because they saw their Lord physically risen and were probably feeling a sense of guilt and shame over the fact that they deserted him, that they fled from him, and left Jesus alone to face his captors. And one of them, Peter, we know, denied that he knew Jesus three times. So I bet Peter was standing way in the back when he saw Jesus. That's why when he appeared, they became startled and frightened. Perhaps they were expecting something like Jesus saying, where were you when I needed you? Why did you abandon me in my hour of need? Come on, guys. But instead, notice what Jesus says to them. Peace be with you. And I did a word study on the Greek word for peace, and it has several meanings. It's not like when we think of peace, we think of strife, the absence of war, feeling good. But the word denotes a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Wouldn't we all like that? Would you like that this morning? A state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. I'll take it. I'd love that. Such a state of peace is the result of divine mercy brought about by God's mercy, granting deliverance and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced in life as a result of sin. Well, I'd like that too. But Jesus probably had every right to say, you've abandoned me. I'm going to go look for new disciples. You guys aren't worth it. But no. Instead, he's saying, I want you to have this state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. And then in John's gospel, I like it even better. Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained. Jesus doesn't give them judgment, but he gives them the Holy Spirit and God's gift of forgiveness so that they can now release people from their sin, their guilt, and their shame. In other words, in today's parlance, Jesus, instead of retribution, is saying, chill out, guys. Everything is okay. No need to be afraid. It's all right. I've got this. So why are you troubled and doubts raised in your minds? And how many times are we startled in life by fear and doubt? I know I am. Things just don't work out the way they intended. Bad medical diagnosis, the end of a relationship, or the death of a loved one. Family relationships seem to be spinning out of control. All these things cause us to fear the unknown and starts us to think sometimes, where is God? And we find, like the disciples, we have a tendency to doubt his presence. Or how many times have we been overwhelmed with guilt and shame, like the disciples, for their fear of retribution by denying Jesus, that they even knew him? Or someone that we've wronged or that we've hurt. We cower in our own locked room, paralyzed by sin. Or we become troubled with guilt. Maybe it's sometimes over the same sin that we just can't seem to get victory over. Or we get startled by the death of a loved one, as it will inevitably do. And we don't know how to handle the grief because of the trauma and devastation. Like the disciples, again, we lock ourselves in our own room of fear, sorrow, and doubt. But you see, Jesus came to the disciples as they were stuck in their guilt, their fear, and their shame. Yet he said to them, "Peace be with you." In the same way, Jesus comes to you this morning in your own guilt, shame, fear, or whatever you're struggling with, and says, "Peace to you." You see, God's law exposes our sin. The fact that we have fallen short of his glory, and just like the disciples, sometimes we have a tendency we want to run from God. Hide in our own locked room. Hide behind our own guilt and our shame, fear. Or maybe we just think, we hide really well, it's no big deal. But then there's that nagging feeling inside, isn't there? That something is wrong, something's not right. You know, when you really look at the good news, the gospel, when you look at what Jesus did, you find it so, what I find so startling is the resurrection is startling. Dead men don't rise from the dead. But God did. And that is startling. It's startling that Jesus, who was God himself, who came down from heaven and took on human flesh, he came and dwelt and lived among us. It's startling to me that he was born in a stable of lowly parents, an unwed mother and a carpenter. It's startling that shortly after Jesus, the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph had to flee because the king was so threatened by this baby. What kind of sick paranoia do you have to be filled with to be so afraid of a newborn baby? These were real life experiences that Jesus experienced the same as you and I experience. It's startling by the very first act of Jesus' ministry was to be baptized. Because Jesus, who was the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes to the world, really did not need to be baptized. The sinless Son of God came and submitted to baptism so he could identify with you and me. And then it was startling after his baptism that Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted for 40 days. You know, and that's significant for us because Jesus did not give in to temptation, but instead triumphed over it. And he promises to help us in the same way when we are tempted. Jesus startled the religious leaders of his day by teaching what God was like, crushing their thoughts of self-righteousness before God that somehow they thought they could save themselves. And I think it's startling that Jesus taught in such a way that he not only captured the hearts and minds of people, but he fulfilled the law for us. And he captures our hearts and minds this morning. It's startling that Jesus went knowingly and willingly, humbled himself, and went to a cross. He willingly gave himself up for you and for me to be crucified so that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God, that we could experience the forgiveness of our sins. What I think is startling too is in the midst of the pain of his crucifixion while nailed to a cross, Jesus was still able with compassion to look upon those who judged him, beat him, and crucified him. I think the most startling things he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow. The depth of his love for us is truly startling. And it was startling on that third day when the women found the tomb empty. Not because the body had been stolen, but because Jesus has been risen from the dead. He gave his life to free us from the guilt and shame that we experience, and he overcame death to give us life. And one of the most startling things for you and me is that by faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, all your sins are laid on him, and he declares you innocent, righteous before God the Father. I have trouble wrapping my mind around that, but that is the truth of the gospel. No longer do you stand condemned before a holy God, but you are saved by his mercy. And then Jesus comes to startle us this morning to make a difference in how we live, how we talk to each other, how ready are we to forgive, how well we treat others, how much we show respect for our teachers, how we interact with our children, how we interact with our parents, how do we treat strangers? Are we interested, or do we just walk away? How do we work for our employer? The same breath of the Holy Spirit that released the disciples from their fear empowers you to live like this, empowers you to love like Jesus. So Jesus startles us every day by coming to us and saying, "Peace be to you. Whatever you're going through, your sins are forgiven." Jesus reaches out in startling encounters and changes lives. He comes and wants to give you that sense of well-being, saying, "You are now right." And what was really startling to those 11 disciples, locked in an upper room full of fear and doubt, thinking that they were going to get punished, some 40 days later, changed the world at Pentecost. These sinful men, just like you and me, went to the ends of the earth proclaiming the good news of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised them and promises you this morning. So Jesus comes to startle you with his love. Let the startling forgiveness he offers through the cross flood you and wash you clean of everything that keeps you separated from. Let the startling good news of the empty tomb bring new life to you. Let the startling power of God's Holy Spirit fill your heart and soul, so you, like the disciples, can go proclaim his love to the ends of the earth. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which